Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Special forces in the U.S. military date back to World War II. They played a big role in Vietnam as well. But it was in the late 1970s that special forces began their modern use that we see today. This week's Retro Report looks at how the hijacking of an Air France plane from Tel Aviv to Entebbe, Uganda, helped to spawn modern commando tactics. Kit Rohn is a producer with Retro Report, and he says the daring operation by Israeli special forces to rescue hostages caught the notice of Americans who would soon come to use special forces in some important successes and in some failures, too.
Entebbe was different because the terrorists took the plane full of the hostages to an airport that was about 2,200 miles away from Israel. It's something that's very, very hard to get to, and no one thought that a rescue there would be possible.
So, you know, I asked my father what's going to happen. He told me, you know, we'll probably eat dead meat because Israel never negotiated. He even made the argument it's way too far for Israel to intervene.
The Israelis proved that to be wrong. They went and they rescued the hostages. There were, you know, in the end, only four hostages were killed in the raid, and one commando lost his life. But it was seen as a wake-up call to other Western powers that you really could project this kind of force deep into what was kind of seen as enemy territory and stop these hijackings.
Talking about real countries like the U.S., of course, U.K., Germany, Italian, all came to learn. It was like the whole world said, wow, they have chutzpah, these guys. They are damn good. Entebbe gave a green light to governments that there is maybe another way, and not just to surrender.
And then the attempted commando raid to rescue hostages held in Tehran during the Islamic Revolution. This is Operation Eagle Claw, and people might remember that it was a spectacular failure.
Left behind in the desert of Iran are the bodies of eight American servicemen, seven U.S. aircraft, and many questions.
So in the aftermath of this very public and very tragic failure, helicopters in the desert, U.S. servicemen dead in the desert in Iran, what happened with the culture of special operations and the use of it in the military in the United States?
Eagle Claw really sort of focused the administration and the U.S. government on the idea that, look, for us to be able to do this on a routine basis, you have to have everyone who's involved in these operations has to be special. They have to be coordinated from the pilots to the ground forces to the support forces. They all have to have worked together, gone through these situations, and it needs to be treated as almost like a separate branch of the military and be well-funded. So what became sort of small units that did these things occasionally became sort of a standing force that could be called on routinely to handle these types of situations and to do them effectively.
And now in the age of terror with asymmetrical threats and asymmetrical combat, special forces are 70,000 strong. It's really a gigantic force. And the most successful raid of the modern era, the raid on Abbottabad, SEAL Team 6.
The United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda.
The entire operation, from the time the SEALs landed in the compound to when they finally took off with bin Laden's body, took only 38 minutes.
Was there a moral hazard involved in the success of this raid? Did Americans take away a message from Abbottabad that maybe isn't the best message?
It's a lot easier to do a raid like this and say, look, this shows we're doing something. When in actuality, you know, you may not be. You may just be treading water. To really change the landscape in one of these places, you need strategy, and you can't just sort of do this whack-a-mole, going after leader and expect to solve the problem. There's a tendency not to call these things insurgencies. There's a tendency to look at them as these sort of, you know, ISIS or these terrorist groups that can be conquered. But in many ways, these are insurgencies. Insurgencies take time, and there's diplomacy that needs to be put to work, and economic aid, and all sorts of things that go far beyond one-off operations against the military leaders.
Can America win the war on terror by kicking down doors at night and taking people out?
Have we won so far?
Kit Rohn is producer at Retro Report. Thanks for being here, Kit.
Thank you.